B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is Marcus down? Marcus is not involved in this play.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is Marcus down? Marcus is not involved in this play. Is he into the basket?
And Aaron Gordon ends up giving a foul. Marcus Smart now just getting up, and he's putting his left hand on his hip. And he's saying, I'm okay, but he's really gingerly walking back to the bench. Celtics have already had Jason Tatum lead this game. The absolute last thing you want in what has turned out to be a meaningless night.
Is this more birthday music?
All day, baby. All day. Are you like this one? You're nodding.
Yeah, I do.
She's got the look. She's got the look. Oh,
again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come and make it, mom. Make it, come and baby, gone. Demolition woman, when I be your man.
Woo!
I could do like five different songs.
I feel like this could be a regular in rotation.
She's got the look.
Tom just said that. This would be a good bet.
It would be. Party?
Yes. Bad. This is bad.
This
is
Leon. Right?
I just like Leon. This song too much that I don't want it to be a bed. Because you know how we burn out
you
songs
ruin it.
Here.
We ruin
we
songs.
We ruin them. We burn them out.
No. Not here.
Let me ask you a philosophical question about sports, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Do you believe head coaches or do you believe reporters?
Oh, reporters.
Always. do I believe Adam Schefter or do I believe Bill Belichick?
Because we're talking about a Marcus Smart here, right?
Adam Schefter. Do you believe Alex Cora or do you believe Jeff Passan?
Passan.
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 I hear that O'Brien fell on here quite a bit on the weekend.
Mike O'Brien.
By the way.
Yes,
he's getting a lot of hours.
Maybe for the sports hub.
Yes. So this is a philosophical question of the who do you believe? Do you believe coaches, managers, or do you believe national prominent writers like Adrian Wojnarowski?
I usually go with the Schefter, the Rappaports, and the Wojs. Yeah, those guys. Even John Heyman. He's usually right.
Here's what Woj had last night during the Celtics game when Marcus Smart exited with an injury. Strained oblique for Boston's Marcus Smart. League source tells ESPN. They'll see how it responds in the next 24 to 48 hours.
All right. I've been around football for, 10 years when I've seen guys get hit that way.
The game wasn't over when he had that. That game, during the game, he tweeted that out.
You watch the video, and if you haven't seen the clip yet, search it out. And if you know Marcus Smart, and you know how tough of an SOB that this guy is, and the way he sacrifices his body, that right there, folks, is a hip pointer. That is a hip pointer to me. I've seen guys get hit like this, or you take a helmet. You look at Aqib Talib at the end here when that hip got bad. That's a hip pointer, man. That ain't a bruise.
Sorry. Okay, well that's what Woj
that ain't
had.
Paul Pierce.
Here, have a listen to Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens said this about it:
Marcus Smart has an oblique bruise, which means he got hit right there. And so I guess that's better than I don't know whether it would be called a strain or whatever. You know, we'll see what that looks like tomorrow. He was a little sore, but was walking around, which was good, in the locker room. So obviously glad we got out of there without anything else after that.
Remember when Tom Brady blew his knee out and he walked off the field to the locker room? Do you hear Stevens there?
It hurts,
dude.
That's gotta hurt. It looks like it hurts.
That guy doesn't tap out. I'm sorry. when you know the player. This isn't Paul Pierce getting willed back out.
Well, you never know, because there's always the chance of that happening in the NBA.
He has an oblique bruise. Let me stress, bruise. Let's get that out there so everybody knows. So the team that we're going to face next weekend doesn't know that he has he's got an oblique and he's got a hip pointer. That is Stevens.
Which could be really sore. Could take some time. Need some rest.
Doesn't oblique scare you more than hip, though? Not the bruise part, but like injury-wise.
Yeah,
like if it's a strain or a sprain or a torn something, oblique always sounds worse than hips.
That ain't a bruise, man. I'm sorry. It's not a bruise.
Well, I also think it sort of depends on the sport. If you hear that in baseball, you're like, oh, damn. Because guy can't swing.
Yeah, you're down.
Yeah. I mean, Marcus Smart could theoretically tough it out and push through it. He wouldn't be his best version of himself if he's really feeling it, but it wouldn't be impossible for him to play with it.
But he's not an offensive player. He's not like determining where he's going. He can't control his movement. He's on defense. He's a defensive stopper, so he's got to go and follow the guy that he's guarding. So he's got to twist and turn and do all those sorts of things. He can't control his body.
His whole game's predicated on that.
Yeah, exactly.
His whole game. And then if you don't have that, and it's like telling a guy just run straight. You know, remember Gordon Hayward and everybody was getting excited. Oh, he's jogging, moving forward, north south. Yeah, watch him cut. He can't yet. Marcus Smart's whole game is predicated on what Jim said. He's the grinder. Yeah, he's the grit guy. That guy doesn't tap out and call for help. If you just, oh, man, I felt it awkwardly. I got a bruise. Sorry. Good job by Stevens, though. Gamesmanship. Start getting in their head. Yeah, he's fine.
But Woj had that report before the game was over.
Yeah, I know. In game.
Game's still going on. So he had an incredible source.
He's so good.
Do you think Stevens got pissed there? Like, oh, Woj.
No, I don't think it's that.
It's a bruise.
I bet Stevens didn't even know that was out there when he spoke after the game. I bet he had no idea.
No, he was busy coaching the game.
But why does he emphasize the word bruise?
Because he's a coach and he's trying to downplay an injury.
Yeah, exactly. Unless the trainer gets all of them too.
That's why I ask you this question.
Hey, Brad, just
who
so
do you
know,
believe?
Brad, just so, like, you don't think like somebody pulls and says, "Hey, Brad, just so you know, that's they already put it out."
No, I don't think they worry about that. I actually don't find
Celtics should
Brad Stevens to worry about that stuff at all. Does he seem like a guy who worries about that? Does he ever, when he talks to us or he does any of his interviews, is he someone that's ever really seemingly super hyper aware of what's being said or what's being reported, or even if he does know what's out there or knows the conversation and what is reported, does he seem all that concerned with trying to change the narratives or get upset with people for what they're saying or reporting?
He's like the guy that goes into the fridge blindly. You have no clue what's in that fridge, but I'm going to make a hell of a meal out of it. I'll open it up. Well, what do we have? Okay, we got some onions. We got some mushrooms there. Do like a little marinated steak here. Yeah, I'm seeing. Oh, okay. We got some instant mashed potatoes. I could jazz those suckers up. A little cream, a little butter.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's gonna because he will make something out of whatever he's given. Is my point.
Here's I think.
He'll cook the damn good.
I think he's not all that worried about it.
Right.
All right. So what's worst case scenario for Marcus Smart?
Miss the first series.
Okay.
That's worst case. Do the Celtics? Questions to the Celtics.
Now you, Scott Zolak, have continued all last week to continue to put Marcus Smart in my group of veterans.
Yeah.
And my group of veterans is Al Horford.
I think he's earned it.
It's Gordon Hayward. And it is obviously Kyrie Irving. And you keep tacking on Marcus Smart.
Yep. Because there's a grit element that comes to his game and that I think they're going to need a point.
Can I ask you a question about his grit element?
When you get into each series, yes.
And by the way, I'm glad Marcus Smart's on the Celtics, okay? I like that he's here. He's overpaid. He's an overpaid role player.
They all are.
But whatever. I mean, I'm not even going to harp on that. Does his grit translate to anybody else on this team? Because all year, I've stupidly said, Marcus Smart really brings an element to the team that they lack, which is true. I'm not wrong on that part.
I mean,
but I say it as if at some point it's going to transfer to somebody else.
No, I understand.
Anybody else on this roster, and it has not happened.
See, Gordon Hayward's
taken after him.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward's good play has like translated and it like affects the team and you're a better team. I don't know. I think it was probably more pertinent 2 years ago when you didn't have, most of the type of players that you have now, to where you need to go out and grind and win games, and back to the days when Avery Bradley was here too and you're playing defense. I don't know.
I think you need him more now because you don't have guys that are willing to do that. You had more guys that were willing to do that before.
Single game matchups.
You have less guys that are willing to do that.
I think it's weird. Like you need him less in single game matchups as opposed to when you get in a series. And now Brad Stevens could So to cook that dinner and know when I could dose it and when am I going to put it, who am I going to put him in with? Who am I going to pair him with? And how's that going to affect the game and change the course of this game? Change that outcome? I think there's a certain intensity that guy brings that when it amps up, he's been there before. Not say I want him shooting the threes or taking the most important shot in the game. But I think there's parts of his game that this team would need if you would miss him in a series. Can they advance without him?
Can they beat Indiana without Marcus Smart?
You
should be able to.
Wouldn't that say something?
That's why I'm not all that concerned with this. I think they'll be fine. If Marcus Smart has to miss a series, they'll be okay. This is a team that lost Kyrie Irving last year on the eve of the playoffs. They were okay. They'll be okay if Marcus Smart has to sit out for a little bit.
They're not going to buy Milwaukee without him, though.
They could still. That's a different story.
Milwaukee.
But do we think he's done for the year? Do we think he's going to be done for a month?
No. I never know with injuries this late in the season. You just never know.
What does Isaiah have at the end to shut him down for, technically?
What they shut him down for? I don't know. It was obviously a hip injury. I mean, that was the injury, but I don't know what they technically shut him down for.
Area. You know what I mean? And if you can't be that same type of player like he needed to be, we got to shut him down. You know?
He still scored 50 in that playoffs in a game.
I know
though,
he did.
Playing
he
on the hurt
like
hip.
One leg, yeah.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up next. Open phone lines if you want to grab one. Also, the win for the Celtics on Friday night over the Pacers. I do want to mention that. We will do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, it started out down a dirty
Celtics won on Friday night over the Pacers. Commanding win. I wouldn't say there was a dominating. They were their best version of themselves on Friday night, which I'm happy about because I don't necessarily put the stock in that game itself. Obviously, it did have meaning for seeding. It did have importance. But how they played, to me, is far more important about how they're playing right now as a team than winning one individual game against the Pacers. They look good. Again, outside of this Marcus Smart hiccup that they're going to deal with, the Celtics are starting to look really good.
So I tweeted out early last week. I said, Celtics are coming on, baby.
Looks like they're starting to put it together at the right time of year.
Here they come.
And by the way, I just want to say this right now. If they continue this, this was not a flipping of a switch when game one of the playoffs rolled around.
This has been a build.
This was a build that they've been working through all kinds of crap for months. And over the last couple of weeks, they've started to put it together.
We kind of touched on that last week. And then I said, you know, Jim and I were talking that one day in traffic coming in. And just like, it'd be nice if you could cruise to that first round, get into that next matchup, and then coach your ass off and figure a way to get after that freak. And then go on some sort of a run here. Oh, man, that would be fun. That'd be fun. I could see that. They haven't even announced game one, right? Bruins are home.
Bruins are Saturday night. Probably going to be Sunday, right? Unless they play the doubleheader Saturday and do the noon game on Saturday.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
They could.
I know they could.
I'm pretty sure all game ones are either Saturday and Sunday in the NBA.
Yeah, what time are the Bruins on Saturday?
8 o'clock. They're the prime time game.
There's enough time if they played a noon timer on Saturday.
That damn bull gang. Whew.
We got a call last week. Yeah, they're going to be doing a lot of work.
Bull gang.
A lot of overtime.
Up.
A lot of overtime over there. A lot of hours.
It's not going to be an attractive like ABC type matchup either. So it's not going to be the 3:30 Sunday or the 8 o'clock Saturday night. Most likely, well, it's definitely not going to be 8 o'clock Saturday night because of hockey.
So yeah, it could be either day. Is there anything else going on over there? Do we need to check the schedule for concerts?
Which hockey player's old man was on the Bull Gang?
Grizzlick.
That's
Matt Grizzlick. Yes, his dad.
They looked gritty though. They had a little bit of grittiness to them Friday night when they played. The Celtics, talking about them turning on a little bit.
Yeah, get them, put them lift in here. Put a hydraulic lift. I pinched my finger.
Oh, the ball gang there. Oh, they look good.
Cut my finger off. Got a cut between the boards. It's all right. Cut it off. Tape it up.
No, even like passive Hayward looked a little bit gritty the other night. I don't know. Just something about it. They looked a little bit. They look different. Different is the word.
Like Hayward, all year, never like really went to the hole. He's going to the hole now, which is good. Always go to the hole.
It looks like there's a break. Muse is playing 2 days from now on Wednesday, and then they don't have another concert. They obviously schedule, assuming that both teams will be in the playoffs. The next concert at the Garden is April 28th. Cher is at the Garden.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was she now 74?
How old is Cher? That's a great question, Zoe. How old is Cher?
I will answer that for you right now.
She ain't doing a duet with Sonny.
What'd you say, Zoe? 74? 74. Yeah, you were a little high.
Yeah, 72.
I mean, not far off.
You're in the ballpark. 6 months. Yeah. Thank you.
When's he in again? Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Cher, 10 to noon.
Real name is Sherilyn Sarkeesian. And she's...
You know, I'm so scarred by her from Mask.
73 in May.
I never looked. I dug her music when I was younger.
Yeah.
But, man.
Really?
That Mask movie scared the hell out of me.
You dug Cher? Well, younger Cher. In life. Really?
Yeah.
What's the video?
What's the video?
Give me a song.
God, what was the one? She was on the ship. Like, it was the naval ship.
If I could turn back time.
Bingo. You love this. Yes.
Oh,
this is Boom Boom Miami music. Well,
this was sort of like one of her later in life songs,
right? This is after Mask, though.
This one, she had transformation. She had like the facelift.
This one is way after Mask.
Yeah, this
one, yes.
Probably in the 2000s.
This is, I think this one I was in Miami. Yeah.
You used to dig this on your mind? Boom, 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 chair?
Club mix? Oh, my God, yeah. Club mix of this is just the jam. This is Pet Shop Boys.
You got to get this on your pool playlist, though.
I got to. I got to get Pet Shop. It reminds me. Pet Shop Boys with spring coming.
Yeah, Mask came out in 85, and if I could turn back time, it was 89. So, I'm not.
It's amazing how much he loves this song. It's great.
Oh, and I love this one.
I got you, babe.
I always see this on Facebook, too. There you go. 30th anniversary. Let's go through the historical pictures. Quick flashes, and then this song's always playing. Dun, 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 dun. I got you. I get it. Yeah, anniversary. There you go.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Stanley, who's in Medfield today. Stanley, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Stanley. How you doing?
All right. So it's just one more thing for David Price to complain about. I mean, every year he has to find at least 3-4 topics to complain about. He's constantly crying and whining. I don't understand. I mean, you're not marketing baseball to obviously adults. You're marketing it to children. And at the end of the day, when you look at Mookie Betts' game and you look at other players' games in baseball, it's not as marketable to children.
Okay.
Children want to see a player like Aaron Judge. Like, those guys, they're marketable. He hits the home run. I mean, let's be serious. His nickname is The Judge. Like, what is more attractive? Cody Bellinger.
All right.
Cody Bellinger? Cody Bellinger is more attractive than Mookie Betts?
If you look at the statistics right now, I know it's only in the start of the week.
Give me a break. Cody Bellinger is vanilla as it gets.
Outside the city of Boston, every year when you go to the Little League World Series and those kids stand there and they introduce their kids' names and they go, what's your favorite player? How many of those kids are going to say Mookie Betts?
How many of those kids are saying Cody Bellinger?
That's a good point, Bill.
What?
You're right. Okay, the kids in L.A. But at the end of the day,
that's a bad comparison. Okay, that's
the kids from Boston would all say Mookie Betts.
Even the kids in Boston.
Disagree.
Who's your favorite player?
Benintendi.
They're going to go Betts, and they're going to go Martinez. It's split. Even in the city, you're not going to see a kid pick. No one outside. If you're a Padres fan and you're a young kid, who's your favorite player? Probably not Mookie Betts. All right? It's just not going to happen.
All right. Let me give you this now. To David Price's defense,
Cody Bellinger.
I don't think God, Price crap. Sits there. At night.
By the way, I was Cody Bellinger in the World Series. Who was worse, Betts or Bellinger? They both suck.
That's a bad comparison. But to Price's defense, here, not that I'm defending Price.
Betts look better doing.
I don't think Price sits there at Fortnite and says, "Well, what can I say tomorrow to piss people off?" Or like, this tells me if David Price is saying this, this tells me that it's being talked about within.
between the team. Like, they are aware of this. Or it's a problem on the inside. Now, does Betts seem like a guy, and you've heard this talked about, you know, since, what, a year ago, that he wouldn't be too unhappy leaving Boston? Does he love it here that much to where it resonates with people that said, he's ours. Love this player.
What does it matter?
I don't know. To say, okay, who's your favorite player? Who's your favorite player? Line up, take, go to an elementary school now.
I don't understand. Why is Benintendi ahead of Betts on the favorite scale?
All right, I pulled up. So Coventry, Rhode Island was the New England representative of the Little League World Series. Do you want to hear the intros?
Yes, I do. They name their favorite players, right? I bet Judge is in there. Because you know what? Rhode Island, sneaky bad state.
Yeah.
Sneaky bad.
They want to be
my
New York.
My name is Tyler Simon, and my favorite baseball player is Mookie Betts.
My name is Will Owens, and my favorite baseball player is Mookie Betts.
Yes!
My name is Noah McPrime. My favorite baseball player is J.J. Hardy.
My name is Bill Morrell, and my favorite baseball player...
What the hell's wrong with your state?
J.J. Hardy?
Who's this kid's old man?
Wait, J.J. Hardy? Are you sure?
What's he sitting at home watching YouTube like Louse Kid?
J.J. Hardy.
Like you pull up Louse Kid in some AAU game. Favorite player is Larry Bird.
J.J. Hardy. Wait, what? Son of a Orioles? What is this?
My name is Bill Morrell, and my favorite baseball player is Mookie Betts.
Hi, I'm Aiden Wilkins, and my favorite baseball player is Xander Bogaerts.
All right.
My name is Anthony Colucci, and my favorite baseball player is Christian Vasquez.
My name is Tommy Turner, and my favorite baseball player is Mike Trout.
He must be the catcher, right?
My name is Sammy Fuentes, and my favorite baseball player is Derek Jeter.
My name is
Derek Jeter.
This kid,
kid, how
watching
old are you?
YouTube?
You don't even.
It's like Lost Kid.
You don't remember Derek Jeter playing baseball?
Favorite outfielder was Mickey Mantle.
Nolan the Perch, and my favorite baseball player is Andrew Benintendi.
My name is Carly Manfredo, and my favorite baseball player is Mike Trout.
My name is Logan Lama, and my favorite baseball player is J.D. Martinez.
Oh.
My name is Cody Fretz, and my favorite baseball player is Bryce Harper.
Ooh. My name is Jake Mather, and my favorite baseball player is Derek Jeter.
Again, what's with Jeter getting the love?
Rhode Island, baby.
Except for sneaky Yankee fans down there. Did you know that Rhode Island is considering a proposal? Or have they passed it, Jim, or is it just still a proposal?
Yeah, I don't even think it's been proposed. They're talking about it. Yeah.
They're talking about being able to go to the registry like you can here in Massachusetts, and you could get the Jimmy Fund Red Sox plate, right?
Yeah.
They want to do a Yankee plate down in Rhode Island.
I believe
they already had the Red Sox one.
Of course, but now they want to add a Yankee one, too.
Well, they're popular down there. And I used to play
frickin'
the damn
Rhode
game
Island
station I used to work for down there. I had the damn Yankee games on. Hey, Jim, what's the two towns I butchered the most down there? Coventry is one because I remember the first reads. Coventry.
No, Coventry.
Coventry, yeah. No, they're like, it's Coventry.
It is?
What's the other one? North, was northern towns.
Is it not Coventry? How do you say it, Jim?
You could say Coventry. Yeah.
They say Coventry? I would have never known.
Accent, yeah.
I think that's Coventry. I got hammered for it.
Really?
Oh,
who knew?
Yeah, but Zoe said Coventry.
He's all messed up.
Well, at least I didn't work with the one guy. What's the guy's name? Who's the guy that played in Minnesota? Coach, pronounced his name wrong.
I don't know. Colin's in the car. Hey, Colin.
No, it was Herb Street.
Yeah, that wasn't you. That was somebody else.
Colin.
Yes, how are you guys?
Hey, what's going on?
So much. I thought the last caller made a good point, because one of the things that's happening right now in Major League Baseball is the level of talent. We're in a golden age of superstar players across all 32 teams right now, and it's more of a localized tradition or more custom. Like Manny Machado now in San Diego is a superstar with Eric Hosmer, and I think the game is changing. I know a group of 20-somethings that are in my family that are playing a lot more fantasy baseball that they never, you know, even tried playing before, and they're actually enjoying it. And I think sports betting is going to change the landscape of the popularity of all the sports going forward as well.
True. I don't know why any of that would hurt, but...
It's all slightly true, but tell me how the game
baseball
has changed.
Baseball is localized.
Baseball has not changed.
Baseball's always been a local thing. It always has been, but there have been periods of time when people have really known the players outside of their own market
okay.
and have followed the players outside of their own market and would, you know, have a dozen guys that were instantly recognizable. Instantly recognizable that had nothing to do with their local team.
Would you be alarmed if...
I don't know if you've seen this, Jim. There's an online quiz out there where they show you 50 baseball players from the 90s with no name attached. and you could take the quiz to see how many of the baseball players you recognize.
90s, I could probably get a lot of them.
Yep, you will. There's 50, I think there's 50 on the quiz. I think I got 49 out of 50.
Later, and if you do that
current now, day, no way.
No way I could do it now. But could the kids now do it?
No. No way. Here's another thing, too.
Could a 12-year-old right now?
If they were popular players, yes.
Do you think there are 50 guys they could put on there?
My kid couldn't pick Mike Trout on the lineup.
NBA, they could pick everybody out, though. NBA, they could name everyone.
I agree with that.
You take Mike Trout's uniform and his hat off, and my kid wouldn't recognize him. But he knows who Mike Trout is.
Well, they did have them. They were in uniform. They were,
okay.
They were,
but I'm saying, you know, take
pictures as players.
Like, you see their face a lot when they play. They're 162 freaking games.
Yes, that's one of the benefits of baseball.
Right. You should be more recognizable without your uniform.
Like, baseball and basketball have that benefit, where for the most part, you can see the guys.
Yeah.
Football, it's hard to actually see the people.
Like, if you're a marketing person that works for, the Red Sox, and you're as popular as they are right now, and you're winning the way they're winning, and you know, spending the money they're spending, you hear that, like, one of your local all-star little baseball teams are saying some of these other players. Like, if that was a local all-star football team, so to speak, how many of those kids would say Brady or, like, Gronkowski, you know? Or would they be going the way, like,
J.J. Hardy.
Patrick Mahomes.
We got a J.J. Hardy picture up Mahomes. On the simulcast.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill.
J.J. Hardy. J.J. Hardy's like 40 years old.
That kid's a real baseball fan,
though. Must love baseball. 617-779-0985.
He gets that from his old man. His old man.
Red Sox thoughts from the West Coast. David Price.
Just learn that.
Critical of Major League Baseball. Marcus Smart's injury on the table. And the Celtics and where they are at.
And Beatles' birthday.
Aaron, this final week. Yeah, that too. And some thoughts on Saturday night and the Final Four. Sorry, Hardy. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We'll touch on it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
It's Guy from the corner, from the wing. Hold on. Hold on. Did I hear a whistle?
Wow.
We got a foul call.
Wow.
The Auburn fans thought it was over, but there was a whistle.
That game was fun. That was the first game on Saturday night. Auburn loses. And there's a foul call at the end that you just heard Jim Nance call there.
Nance was brilliant. This is Nance at his best.
Thought the whole broadcast crew at the end of that game was really good. That foul came with about 1.2 seconds to go in the game. And it was a foul. It was a foul. And he fouled him. And I have no issue with the call whatsoever. Don't foul. Don't jump into the player there.
What about the no-call travel?
The double dribble?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Nobody saw it.
In real time?
I mean, we could do this. I
didn't notice it in real time.
And I watched it from like five different angles. Nobody in the
and
crowd is like,
don't slow it down. Don't slow it down either. That's the other thing. The ball grazed his leg.
Time.
Look at it in real time, and you could completely understand why it was missed. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a major issue with that either. Auburn didn't get robbed. I know that everyone wants to play this up as somehow they got robbed.
They had it. They blew it. Well, I think Auburn blew it.
I mean, when you talk about finishing, Virginia went dead for the last 5 minutes of the game before they finally woke up in the final seconds. So
exactly.
Let's not go overboard saying that Auburn didn't finish.
And I give that kid a ton of credit for sinking all three of those free throws. That is
like a badass
that
too.
Is nails.
With some swagger.
I mean, no doubt. They tried to ice him after the second one.
Did he look nervous at all?
Nope.
No.
The stones on that kid.
In the post-game interview, though, he said he was nervous. He said he couldn't even feel himself.
Really? Because I watched it. I heard him say that after the game. And I'm like, I think you're saying that.
Back rim that thing.
To just sound humble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I give that guy all the credit in the world for going to the line. Man, oh, man.
I just, and the foul call was right. you got to contest it because a made three essentially wins the game. So you got to get close to him, but don't foul him, especially on a foul that when you're not even really defending the shot. That whole like bump his leg as he's in the air. It's like no.
There's only one kid that could block a three, and the kid's not in the tournament anymore, and that's Zion.
But you
I always hear that. Don't go near a guy. You're never going to block the three. What are you fouling him for?
But you can get into position and get your arms up and block his view of the basket. Something he didn't do any of that. He just bumped into him while he's in the air, which you can't do.
Yeah. It's a legit call. I mean, you can't sit here and bitch
about
that.
Oh, it's the right call.
It's not a bad call.
It is.
And you keep hearing this refrain of the, oh, well, we deserved a better ending. It shouldn't have ended that way. Well, then don't foul him. You want it to end differently? Don't foul the guy.
It was a better ending than the Michigan State Texas Tech game.
Have you seen all the videos of like the dude like pouring a beer on his head, and then you go to the ones down on the Auburn campus, and now they're going nuts, and they thought they won the game? The kids are going crazy.
Who are you rooting for tonight?
Texas Tech.
I am all in on Texas Tech. All in on these guys.
Mahomes going to be there again?
They canceled classes for tomorrow at Texas Tech.
That's great. Evening classes tonight, and then all
day
tomorrow.
Of school.
Yep.
That is my type of school right there. They decided that at 5 p.m. today, campus will shut down. And tomorrow, we're shut down as well.
That's good.
We've got a championship game tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
When sports are important, that's when you recognize. That's great. Good job by them.
So yeah. Tonight's your final game.
I just can't root for Virginia.
And Jim Lout has been so out on the tournament that he tells Hardy today that he's not going to make it to One Shining Moment.
He will not watch One Shining Moment live. This is Jim's favorite part. One of Jim's sneaky favorite parts of the sports year. One Shining Moment at the end of the tournament. I'll look at it if I'm still up, or maybe watch it the next day.
This is from the kid that woke his kids up to see the Red Sox close out the World Series.
Jim loves One Shining Moment. He says the tournament's been so bad. What'd you say, Jim?
I said, give me the top three signature moments of this tournament.
Duke.
What? Duke, give me the moment. Give me the moment.
Losing.
Auburn's.
This has been a very non-eventful tournament so far.
Auburn's three wins in a row. That's what I would say.
Yeah, but he's talking about a moment, not
the injury. The injury's the moment. You get clips, like little individual moments.
Oh, my God.
That's what One Shining Moment's made of, is all these little tiny buzzer beaters, or, you know, Maryland, Baltimore County beating Virginia last year, the 15 beating a 2. What was the big upset this year? What was the big thing?
It. You're right. You're right to a sense, but I thought that the games were more entertaining than I thought they were going to be.
The games, yeah. The games have been okay, but
last weekend, I thought
there's no superstars, and there's no big moments in the tournament so far.
You're going to
highlight the ball going off the back of the kid's leg?
You're going to watch it tomorrow?
It kills them not having Duke.
I might watch it in the morning, yeah, but I'm not staying up for it.
Might watch it in the morning. Come on, you're going to watch it.
Ball is... What are they using? They're using Luther again, right?
Remember? Yeah, they've been using Luther.
I know that. When, who's the
They went to Jennifer Hudson for like a year or something.
Then she lost all that weight and went back to Luther. Boy, she had a transformation, man.
There's been a couple of buzzer beaters in there, though. West Virginia had a game early with the late shot. You had Virginia win. They had a buzzer beater. Purdue, right?
Yeah, your Michigan State team, man.
The Virginia-Purdue game was the game of the tournament.
Okay.
That was the game of the tournament.
All right.
Oh, that kid hitting those threes from Purdue?
Yeah, and the Tennessee game, too. Tennessee-Purdue was good, too. But it just there wasn't enough of those with the star players and like the guys that you're going to – it's just – I don't know.
Look at Jim.
Didn't do it for me this year.
Star bleeper. Mr. Team.
You're going to look back at this tournament and say, oh, yeah, that's the year that Virginia and Texas Tech were in the championship game. It's such a non-exciting championship game.
This is the anti-Lout.
It sounds like you don't even want to watch the game tonight.
I don't know who
he is. I'm not going to watch it from start to finish.
Oh. What if it's good?
This is a kid that believes
in underdog. I'll watch the end of it. But I'm not going to sit in front of my TV and plan my night out so that I'm in front of the TV at 9:20, by the way. 9:20 is the tip.
I know. I hate that about this game. But you don't think it has the potential to be a good game?
It might. Texas Tech is an ugly game. They play an ugly style.
I mean, it is. That game the other night, Hardy?
I'm scarred from watching Texas Tech at the Garden last year at the tournament when they were here.
I remember that.
They just play like this aggressive defense. Like, it's not exciting to watch.
There were long stretches without points in that game the other night.
There was a table full of guys at the tap there at MGM Springfield who bet the first half over. Like this, the group of
what was the number?
Ten dudes.
That's fun when you see a group of people that, or you're a part of a group of people and you're just rooting for it at the
They're
end of the half.
They're just rooting for a bucket on either end. They're going nuts, bucket on either end. But the first half.
Was it like 21-20 at the half or something?
Half,
what was it?
The first half total they bet was 63.5.
Oh, no shot. No shot.
No. So, Hardy, is it true that you changed the tire at halftime to change up the luck?
Oh, yes.
Did I hear that? Okay.
Yes. Yes. I was wearing my, you know, my dress Michigan State hoodie for my event.
Right.
You know, Saturday night in a casino. You want to look your best. So I had the nice hoodie on, but it wasn't working. And I was watching the last possession. Michigan State had a chance to score before.
So you went
half.
And got the old sweatshirt?
So I went up to my room and changed.
Oh,
into the ratty one.
How's that there? Huh?
How's that Springfield crowd?
Must be nice.
That place is nice. The tap is a great crowd. Bar.
So no one's invited us to any of the casinos recently. Yep.
Mel Tillis over here.
I was down there.
What he said.
I'm getting a pack of cigarettes.
I'm talking about I had a good weekend. Foxwoods, a couple weekends ago.
We'll get back to your calls coming up right after this on Zolak.
I'm talking about Willis.
You want to know about Yacht Rock last night that you missed?
Oh, yes, it's your birthday.
So
we need a Yacht Rock review.
I'll give you the review.
Let's do it.
It's on the way.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I can't wait for Yacht Rock Fridays.
It'd be nice if they ever got here.
I can't
ever.
Wait. It's only April. Relax. It's
I the thought first it was week the of April. Crap.
First week of April. Yacht Rock's more of a May thing. As we get inch closer to Memorial Day. Here's my Yacht Rock review.
I had my sunroof open Saturday. Saturday was nice.
I did too.
Saturday was nice.
Yeah. You will not regret going to that show. They come about once a year. You will not regret spending the money to go see them.
I have a question.
So I was invited. I could not attend.
Yes.
Someone asked me, what is that? I'm like, I'm not sure. It's Yacht Rock music, but so, who plays sure. it?
It is a cover band.
Boats.
Their name being Yacht Rock Review is the name of the act. They've got a sort of a cult-like following, as I had heard and found out for myself last night.
Where was the show?
They were at the House of Blues. Sold out the House of Blues. And they're a cover band, which tells you they don't suck.
Lead singer thinks his bleep don't stink a little bit, huh?
I'm not sure it does.
What do you mean?
Zoe's seen a video of it.
I seen the video, and then I go to their Twitter page and that, and he's kind of front and center of his shirt unbuttoned and that.
Well, it's sort of part of an act,
a little swag.
Yeah, I mean,
like it's part of it. It's all sort of an act. It's something you would expect to see in Vegas.
Now, does he change
this show? Would be perfect in Vegus.
Yeah.
Does he change his voice to match the vocals of the different songs?
I think he does.
To a degree, yes, but they also use three different guys singing different songs depending on who's best suited to sing the song.
That's the key. Like you had the...
Very versatile act is what I would say.
Ronnie Spector in Eddie Money song, Take Me Home Tonight, and I think they nailed it. I didn't know there was a woman in the band.
What?
I didn't know
there's not. It's all dudes.
They do Take Me Home Tonight?
Yes.
That's not a Yacht Rock song.
You're right. There are some songs that stray from the Yacht Rock that are from the same period.
I'd slide that in there.
It's not Yacht
Rock. And it works.
No. Yacht Rock
and it
to me
works
is like...
because you can't just play in 2 hours of Yacht Rock. You put people to sleep. So they mix it up a little bit, and it's really good.
Get a little Journey in there or something, like just slide something in there.
You know who was the first person to tell me about this? And he's never actually been, but it was Big Jim. Big Jim was like, I've heard everyone I've ever heard that's gone to this has said it's incredible.
Did they do Southern Cross?
No.
I don't know what we're doing then.
That's almost
they're out there doing Eddie Money, and they don't do Southern Cross.
It worked, though, I guess.
By Romeo's tune.
No, that one didn't come up.
Who's Romeo?
Which, because you know why?
Rupert Holmes, the Pina Colada
song. They did that one.
Okay.
They did do that one.
Sailing.
Yeah. No, they did the other Christopher Cross one with Michael McDonald there. The one we play all the time.
Take me away.
Yamo be there?
No. Oh, let's see. Hold on. I'll tell you what it is. You know what it is. Oh, Ride Like the Wind. That's what it is.
A Ride Like the Wind.
They did that one.
It's almost like they played the B-sides, huh?
I don't know. I don't know.
Hey,
How long was the show?
It was over 2 hours.
Oh.
But I bet
have a good night, folks.
They did Brandy. They did Baker Street. Ride Like the Wind. Boz Skaggs Lowdown. They did... trying to think of what
I'll
else.
I'll find a South Fight.
They did Pina Colada.
I'll tell you what it was.
They did
What's the name of the band?
Did a couple of Hall & Oates songs.
Getting jiggy with it.
What's the name of the band?
Yacht Rock Review. Yacht Rock Review.
Where do you get the hats? Where do you get the
captain's hats? They were selling them there. You get a hat for $20.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all it was.
Oh, I'd buy one. I'd have bought one.
Yeah.
Cool Change? No.
They didn't do a Little River Band?
No.
Oh, my God.
They did Rosanna.
They did Rosanna. They opened with the Commodores, Easy?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm...
Two Toto songs, Rosanna and Africa.
Yep, back to back.
You Make My Dreams.
Hall & Oates.
Another good one.
Dancing in the Moonlight, My Old School, Minute by Minute, Heart to Heart.
Gets it.
Couple Steely Dan songs in there.
Yeah.
Peg being one of them.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover is not a Yacht Rock.
Not Yacht Rock.
I'd put that one on the back.
You know, I'm just going to go through and tell you what the not Yacht Rock songs are.
Okay.
All right.
This is what you do, huh? You just pick things apart just for the sake of picking it apart.
It's Mr. Critical Music Guy.
Yeah.
It's his birthday.
I'm not sure Sister Golden Hair is a Yacht Rock song.
I don't think it is.
What is that one?
Night Fever by Bee Gees.
That's not Yacht Rock.
That's not Yacht Rock.
That's disco. Disco is not Yacht Rock.
All Night Long by Lionel Richie.
That's Yacht Rock.
Okay.
Okay. Picture being on a boat, no wake. And you're coming out of the down the river, heading into open water.
This is Yacht Rock.
Yeah, this could definitely qualify Yacht Rock. Now that I think of it,
you said what? This is Sister Golden.
Oh my God, this is Yacht Rock. This is awesome. See, that's my problem. I could probably name 60% of them.
All right. Total Sister. Eclipse of the Heart. They closed the show with that. That's not Yacht Rock.
Turn around, bright
eyes. No, it's
not. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
If I had a Yeti in my hand and I'm pulling out of a harbor. I could listen to that.
What's the temperature? How would you describe the temperature?
84, slight breeze. Seas less than 1 foot. Don't go knots. I don't want to know knots because I'm really not. I don't care about speed at that time. I got the boat barely moving, and we're just a cruise. It's a harbor cruise.
That song, I can't listen to that song ever.
Where's the sun in the sky at this point?
Song?
So?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Do you know, I got asked a Sadie Hawkins dance.
I was hoping they went Dan Band on that, but they didn't.
And they I got asked a Sadie Hawkins dance, first dance I ever been to, never like been one of the girls or whatever.
Yeah.
And that song came on, and like, you had to slow dance. You didn't know what to do. You stood there like this, hands like.
In high school, my buddy took his girlfriend to the beach, and she had the single, and it was on both sides of the single cassette.
And the same song twice?
Yes, popped it into the thing.
Did he run?
And did not change it all day long. Like 5 hours of that song back to back. I never want to hear it again.
Well, sometimes when you have a hit at that time, you overplay it. I understand that.
5 straight hours of that song.
That's a problem.
I'm going in the water again. Not going back to the blanket.
Going back in. I'm avoiding
it. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Peter.
That was a good time. Everyone who was there enjoyed it. You would have had a good time if you went.
I like cover bands.
Because they're a good cover band.
Me First in the Gimme Gimme is one of my favorite bands. They're a cover band. That's all they do.
I can have a good time anywhere. I have a good time going to see
this. And shout out to the Glitter Boys, who were the pregame entertainment in the Foundation Room there last night. Big listeners of the show. They were looking for Zoe.
Glitter Boys are Glitter DJs, Boys. Right?
They're DJs. They're Yacht Rock DJs, Hardy.
Listen to this.
This is amazing. They're friends at Big Jim as well. They don't have CDs, they don't have a computer.
CDs nuts.
They go all vinyl.
Hipsters.
Everything they play is off the actual vinyl.
Record jackets.
They got full records, they got 45s, they're playing it all off vinyl.
Hipsters.
I wouldn't call them hipsters.
They're friends with Big Jim.
How do they wear?
Let
me present the evidence, Your Honor.
They met Jim. Well, here's
some buddies with Big Jim.
Okay, here's some other bad evidence. They play at the Sinclair every Friday night.
You know what? The prosecution rests.
Rest the case. But if you want to check
final.
Them out. Yeah, check out the Glitter Boys at the Sinclair Friday nights at Cambridge.
Do they wear ties on the way in? They listen to Voodoo Scat on the way in?
No, but they got some killer dance moves.
From Swingers. What's the name of that?
They got a giant yacht as a prop in front of their table.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Big Bad Voodoo yacht. Daddy, yes.
Yeah, Glitter Boys. Big fans of the station. They listen all day long.
Thank you, Glitter Boys.
Yeah.
Hello, Glitter Boy.
Hello. Hello, Glitter Boys.
What do you say when he says he doesn't say hello?
Hello, Glitter Boys. And if you still don't answer.
90 seconds, no commercials. We'll go right back to your call, so hang tight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.